We're going to be talking about how God-centered people live a life of faith, hope, and love. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, often at weddings, we read this scripture and we talk about how Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 4 and 12 that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And I often, when we do weddings, which we haven't done for a little while. Let's get on that, church, huh? Anyway, when we do, we often say that, you know, the two coming together invite Christ into the marriage, and He becomes that third strand in a cord that makes a marriage strong. Amen? But there's another scripture that we read often in weddings, and it comes from what some people call the love chapter in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And Paul in this passage is just talking about the importance of love, and he speaks of its characteristics. And then he ends that discourse with verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, and now, do you remember this verse? And now these three remain. Say it with me then. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? Faith, hope, and love. So these three are the three strands of the cord that I want to speak to you about today. The three things in our life that if we possess will give us such strength that will enable us to weather any storm. Any storm. We know that, hey, our world is a pretty unsettled place right now. Amen? And there's lots of storms everywhere. Yet God, in the midst of living in this time, He calls us to demonstrate His kingdom to a world that needs to be able to see it. And I want to show you this day that through faith, hope, and love, as we possess these things in increased measure, They are the wellsprings of life in God's kingdom. And when we can drink deeply from those wells, it's then that we find security, a place to belong, and meaning for our lives and our world today. Faith, hope, and love are the three central tenets of God's kingdom. This triad, if you will, right? Faith, hope, and love are the wellsprings of life in God's kingdom. It's how we're supposed to live, in faith, hope, and love. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians how everything else passes away, but these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But it's not the only time in the New Testament when these three characteristics are put together and presented to us, as we'll see in several scriptures this morning. Together, these things, faith, hope, and love, it's shown to us as being much more than just a nice saying to repeat at weddings, right? They are indeed the core things that create in us a life that is unshakable, in a kingdom that is unshakable. So, faith, right? Faith is more than just an understanding of what we believe, right? If we live by faith, we put God's truth into action, and it shapes our whole thought and life. Living by faith defines our life in God's kingdom that provides for our life, as I mentioned, security. And you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, a boat tossed on the seas of life, and how, you know, this becomes the anchor for our souls. Faith is the foundation. Love, listen, if faith defines the kingdom of God, love fuels the kingdom. Love fuels it. God's eternal hope for us is birthed out of His love for us. For God so loved the world, right? Love birthed the kingdom. Love fuels the kingdom, rather, and as believers in the body of Christ, Love drives us. It compels us. In our life, we should be known by it, known for our love. Active faith causes us to love, and love sometimes even requires sacrifice in our lives. But love is so compelling that it drives us to even make those sacrifices. And in hope, right? Hope in God is said to never disappoint us. When we have these three working together, faith, hope, and love, it makes all the difference in our lives. So turn with me this morning in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And just look how Paul describes these three things at work in the life of him and the church that he so much prays for. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2 says this: "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers." You know, one of the hallmarks of a good pastor is his love for the sheep, right? Love for his congregation. Paul, he set on missionary journeys all the time, and as he would go, he would, out of love, preach the gospel because he wanted people to have what he has. You know, Paul had an understanding of God that was revealed directly by Jesus Christ. You remember Paul's encounter with the risen Lord? I know. In his zeal, he was persecuting the church, and God showed up in his life, changed everything. That's what happens when God shows up in your life. It can change everything. It really changed his perspective, the way he looked at life, and the way he lived it. There is no one that, in looking at the life of Paul, could say that Paul was a hypocrite. After he came to know Christ, Paul lived his faith. He was all out. You know what that phrase is. He lived all out for God. And he encouraged everybody. What did he often say? He said, "Look at my life and follow my example." Because he wanted people to come to live that all-out life of faith as well. So this church, the Thessalonian church, they were really trying to live all out for God. And so he says to them in this verse, "I thank God for you. As I've been praying for you and mentioning God all the time in my prayers, I thank him for you." He says in verse 3, "We continually remember before our God and Father." Now look at this now. Watch carefully verse 3. "Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, when we do inductive Bible study, right, we really look at Scripture in a way that allows us to dig in, and you learn things as you study Scripture this way, as you really, there's one thing to read the Bible, but it's another thing to really study it, you know? And we're taught in Bible college or seminary to look for the repetition of words, and we often see sometimes the pairing of words like you do in this verse. The pairing of things, work, labor, and endurance paired with faith, love, and hope. Do you see it in this verse? Sometimes, you know, you need to bring your Bibles because sometimes it's then you can write in this, you know, and you underline and you make notes if you're okay to do that with your Bible, right? Yeah. Work produced by faith is the first, you know, coupling of words. Work produced by faith. Huh. Whenever genuine faith is present, it works. You know, Paul makes it very clear in his letters that he understands that salvation is by grace, right? Through faith in Christ, and not by works, he says, lest anyone would boast. He makes it really clear that we don't enter the kingdom of God because God judges one time that we're deserving of it. And because of our actions that show we're deserving of it, he all of a sudden offers us that gift. Paul makes it clear that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and that he meets us right there and offers us the free gift of salvation, right? Not that we earn it, not that we deserve it. It is a gift of God, and it comes because of grace, and we receive it in faith. But Paul says here, you know, the evidence of your faith is to see how faith works in your life. To see then after you've received this gracious gift of God, what are you doing with it? What are you doing now with this great salvation? And he makes it clear that in this church, it was clear that because they had faith, they actually engaged in work produced by that faith. I don't know what that work was. You know, you can just imagine, you know, what they were doing that Paul applauded them. You know, it could have been anything, right? It could have been just showing goodness toward others, right? It certainly was, if you know the history of that church, it was their loyalty to Christ in the face of the persecution that they were suffering. That word work, ergo, you know, it specifically looks at the work performed, the end product, right? But the next pairing of words, he says, your labor prompted by love. Different word in the scripture. Labor, really, when you look up that word, it talks about strenuous action. Strenuous action. It really is that continual hard effort, right? He says, this is your labor produced by love. What he means is that so great is your concern for the object of that love that you do not stop with ordinary effort. We would say today that love goes the second mile as a way of speaking, right? It goes beyond for the sake of the one that you love. It embodies, this phrase embodies the spirit of self-sacrifice, laboring for your love. We know the greatest example of this, of course, is in Christ, right? And as we experience God's love for us, by understanding its demonstration through Christ, then what happens? We begin to love back in a way that at times is even self-sacrificing. I tell you, these last 3 weeks, maybe four, have really been very trying in our lives, and many of yours too. I know that it was such a good thing to see people from the church coming and helping, for example, Mom and Rob as they weathered this storm, literally, and got moved into a new apartment. I got to tell you, and I'm not just saying this to brag, yesterday we finally had time to clean up our own basement, and I mean to tell you, it was a mess. We had a couple of feet of water in our basement, and unlike Rob and Mom, who got smart during the last flood and took everything out of their basement, right, except for the furnace and the hot water tank, we had boxes left in our basement from when we moved into that house 12 or 13 years ago, you know? Guess what? What a mess. Oh, my. We were down there. You should have saw. If you could have took a picture yesterday, you'd have laughed until tonight. Just watching us, you know, with masks over our face because literally there's mold starting to grow down there and the water was so stinky, stagnant in that basement, you know, and the clothes sopping with it. There was a couple of containers that when we opened the lid and they're full of water, the stink was so bad. I mean, it was terrible, you know, and there we're slopping in it, you know, and it's all over us. And in the process, you know, I'm thinking to myself, watching my mother and my brother labor in our basement helping us, that just a couple of weeks before, you know, They had to labor in their own house. And you know what was amazing? Now I'm just telling you the straight up truth. They worked harder yesterday for me than they did even in their own house. That's the truth. I'm bragging on them. I know I am. But I was amazed at how much help they were to us yesterday. And it was a great demonstration to me of the sermon today of labor, right? Prompted by love. You'll do amazing things when you love somebody. You know that? You will do amazing things when true love is present. You go beyond yourself, don't you? You go beyond yourself. That's what love can do. Huh. And in verse 3, it says that now you can keep it up, huh? Because of the hope you have. It says, your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let's face it, it's one thing to blow in, blow up, and blow out. In other words, to have a little shot of this, and then you're done. But how hard is it to keep it up? How hard is it to continually give of yourself, to continually demonstrate your love? Well, I got to tell you, it's pretty hard. Kim and I, you know, we're just talking and reflecting. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a relationship with your husband, with your wife, that you share your hearts whenever you sit and you talk, you know? It's a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful for it that I have a human being, right, that I share my life with that I can pour my heart out to, and her me. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's good because we're both in the same boat. You know how that old saying says, I don't care what ship you came over in, we're all in the same boat now? Well, her and I, we're in the same boat, right? And so she's experiencing the same things that I am, and I can share with her then. And you know, we do. We talk about things like, in the midst of our crazy life right now, you know, in the midst of it, some of the things that we should be doing, we're not. And I'm just being very open to you with you today. You know, I was so convicted this week, you know, about several things. One, spending time with my grandkids that I haven't been, and my own son and daughter-in-law, amen, and daughter, who we've been promising to get down to see in Nashville for months and haven't been able to get down to. You know, and it's really a challenge. And it stinks sometimes that life comes at you so hard. And do you ever hear of something called the tyranny of the urgent? You know, Jason, you probably read it, right? Same as me. It's when, you know, your life is being dictated by the things that scream the loudest at you, but aren't necessarily always the most important. The tyranny of the urgent is hard in our lives because what happens is that you have to put out fires, right, so to speak. You have to take care of the urgent because they're screaming. All the while, some of the most important things in your life are being neglected. Anybody else relate to that? You know, that's what's going on, and that's what happens in times of extreme tragedy or busyness, you know? We have to be reminded that we're in it for the long haul, right? And that God can give us endurance. It's a good word to look up in your scriptures, endurance, hupomone. It's endurance. It's that ability to keep on, keeping on. And Paul says that endurance comes because we have hope. You know, I say to people all the time when I'm visiting them, hope in God will never disappoint you. And I can look them in the eye and tell them that because I know it from firsthand experience. Hope in God will never disappoint you. It may take a while to come about, but hope in God will never disappoint you. He is faithful. God is good. And we can put our trust in Him. Amen? Endurance is possible when it is inspired by the hope that we have through Christ. Inspired by hope. And so that's what our text now today is going to teach us. And so just for the next couple of minutes, let's look at this last scripture, okay? It's Romans chapter 5, so you want to turn there in your Bibles, and it's just the first 8 verses. And we'll focus on the first 5, but I wanted to read 8 for the context today. So Paul writes this. He says, therefore, by the way, when you find a therefore in the Bible, make sure you find out what it's there for, right? So Paul is summing up everything that he has written to this point, and he's talking about up to this point how great a thing it is that God saved us by his grace. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Did you see that? And hope does not disappoint us. Verse 5. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And now for the context, Paul writes, you see, at just the right time, while we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, but for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul creates a chain in this passage of Scripture that's made up of these links: faith, peace, hope, and love. And he starts, of course, by saying that the foundation is faith. Right? Simply stated, because in our faith we know that we have been justified with God, it means that you've been made right with God through your faith. And when you know you're right with God, now listen, you know God is right here with you. That's a powerful but simple truth. When you know you've been made right with God, you know God is right here with you. And when you know God is right here with you, you can have peace. Amen? What happens when a person really gives their heart to God? What hurt happens inside in the heart when truly by faith you believe in Christ? Whenever you come to that point where you know what Christ did is true and you know it was done for you and you apply that finished work of Calvary to your life, huh? Well, the Scripture says when that happens, you can stand before God justified. Now, you know, you've probably heard this before. Some people teach that to understand justification, it means that you can stand before God just as if I'd justified, just as if I'd never sinned. You stand before him that way, and you know you have been made right with God. On the basis of that, he says, we have peace because now that we have been made right with God, he is right here with us. Paul goes on to say that now we can taste of the glory of God. The glory of God. Because that's where all our life is moving. To be able to experience more and more of God's glory until the day we stand face to face in the fullness of that glory. Justification by faith is designed to help us taste it and want more of the glory of God. We are reckoned, you know, that's like a southern word, right? I reckon. But it's actually an accountant's term. We are reckoned right before God, right? So that we can be with God and one day we will see him face to face and enjoy him as our reality forever. But, don't you hate that little word, but? But before that day, when we stand before God face to face, something else comes into your life, namely tribulation, trial. That's what verses 3 to 5 are all about in this passage in Romans, right? How do you respond to trial in your life? Paul's answer is that those tribulations, those trials, they have a gracious and a purposeful place in the life of a Christian. That's why he can say, I exalt in them. Woo, I'm not quite there yet. But Paul, he didn't say that lightly, you know. We read today in our world, I don't know if you read any of the missionary magazines that are out or the websites, check out the websites, but even today, you know, Christians are killed for their faith, sometimes brutally tortured, still today, right? In some parts of the world, Christian women are being brutally raped to break their allegiance with Christ. Children are being sold into slavery, into sex trafficking for as little as $15 for a life of a child in some areas of the world. Brother, that's trial. That's tribulation. And when Paul says, you know, that he can exalt in it, he understood what tribulation was in his life. Paul, as you would say, practiced what he preached. And then he says, you know, that he rejoices in his weakness. You know, as men, we are taught just the opposite, you know? We're taught that you know, we need to become stronger, and, you know, it's not a bad thing to have an inner strength. We need that. But don't ever be fooled into coming to that place in your life where you think because you're strong, you have less need for God. Because the reality is, Paul learned that by experiencing weakness, he can now boast about the strength of God that comes when we need it in our lives. That's what he's saying in this verse. I exult in it, he says, because I see God's hand working in my life. Huh. He said, this is normal for a Christian. We had a discussion Wednesday night in Bible study, and one of the people there, it's actually somebody that was just helping mom, and after she helped sell something that mom needs to sell from the house, she left mom's house, and it was pouring down rain, and she wasn't seeing clearly, and she drove her newly acquired vehicle into an abutment that was in front of the Landmark restaurant about that high, popped both tires, and bent the axle, the front axle in her car. Her new car. And she comes and she says, you know, wait a minute, what's up with this? I was helping somebody and this happened. And we were able to talk, right, about how, first of all, it was an accident. It's not like God caused her to drive into the curb, but it happened, right? But it happened. And things do happen in our lives. And sometimes if we're not careful, those things can cause us to lose that confidence that we have in God, that faith that we have. Sometimes if we're not careful, right, when trouble comes, we don't see God's hand, even though it never leaves us. I did a hymn sing at Donahoe on Friday, and the theme was, He will never leave you or forsake you, right? And I found these neat little leaf dishes down at the dollar store. And I bought enough for all the people in the nursing home that would come to the hymn sing. And three or four times during the course of the singing of hymns, I would remind them, right, the promise of God, he will never leave you or forsake you. And at the end, I handed out the leaves. And I said, every time you look at this now, right, you remember, leave. God will never leave you or forsake you. It's a truth. It's a promise. That's why I'm saying that when you know you're right with God, you know he is right there with you. And when he is with you, you can weather any storm. Any storm. Grace is at work in your life. So that even through tribulation, God can give you the strength to endure. Perseverance. And he says, when you endure, perseverance brings character. And character, hope. I was asking the Lord, you know, I was doing this sermon, I says, okay, perseverance brings character. I get that. I get that because, you know, when you weather the storms, right, and you can hold on to your faith, it does develop character within you, right? But I said, now, how does character bring hope? And you know what he told me? You know how God speaks to you. He gives you thoughts, right? He says, John, character is the only thing that you'll carry with you into heaven, your character. And it dawned on me, you know, that God's work in our life is for that purpose, is to build character in us, amen? The character of Christ, to be specific, and his desire, his largest desire after we get saved and get right with God is that we become more like Christ, which means to have his character within us. And I got to tell you a painful truth. One of the best builders of character is to go through tribulation. It really shows what you're made of, amen? But it shows you, listen, that your faith is true. It's proven. That's the word that's using here. Proven character, right? And the idea is that when you put metal through a fiery testing and it comes out the other side, persevering and enduring, you call that metal proven, authentic, genuine. That's what Paul is speaking of here. When you go through tribulations and your faith is tested and it perseveres, you get a wonderful sense of authenticity. You know your faith is real. Amen? It's been tested. It stood the test with perseverance. Real, genuine faith. That's what God desires. And that's what our world needs. Amen? Hey, she's not a happy camper. Oh, there's Dee. I haven't seen her, Dee, for a while. No wonder she misses you. Yeah, man, I could build a sermon about that, huh? Amen. Don't you want to bust into the presence of God like that? Ah! I saw a wonderful picture that somebody had posted on Facebook, and the title of the picture was called First Day in Heaven. Have you seen that? And was it you that posted it? Oh, my gosh. Because you see this woman that's embracing Christ and the expression on her face. You can't see Christ's face because she's holding him, right? You can only see his back. But her face is shown. And it's so full of expression. Like, I'm here. You're here. Yes. Yeah. That's the hope that we have. Amen. Now, the last verse that we'll look at this morning is this last verse in Romans chapter 5 that says that, you know what? We know that hope will not disappoint us. Hope will not put us to shame, it says in the King James, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There is, now listen, a spirit-given experience of God's love that will defy any argument. Kathy, your husband says this. Denny has this phrase that he's committed to memory, one of many, how about it? But he says, a man with an experience is never at a loss to a man with just an argument. You understand that? A man with an experience is never at a loss to a man who just has an argument. There's a lot of people that will argue against your faith. But when you have a true experience, buddy, there's no argument stands the test of experience. And this verse says that we can experience this hope because of the experience of God's love that's poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Acts, there's this one passage. Last week we talked a little bit about, some of the men that went out from serving tables and did incredible miracles and were used by God. One of them, we talked about was this Philip, right? And he went down to Samaria and he preached the word of God and miracles were done. Do you remember that there was a sorcerer there named Simon the sorcerer, right? And so being a sorcerer, he was a conjurer, right? He practiced the occult. He literally was known as someone with power. Now, isn't it interesting to come to know that Simon, when he saw the pouring out of God's Spirit, was willing to chuck every incantation that he ever knew to obtain the power that he saw demonstrated when the Holy Spirit was poured out into their lives? That's what that passage of Scripture says. He came to know Christ. He came to faith because he saw the demonstration in the outpouring of God into these people's lives. Matter of fact, if you remember, this is how uninformed he was, Sean. He says, hey, can I give you some money that if I lay hands on people, that would happen to them? Isn't that what he said, church? Can I give you some money? You know, you stay under the apostles. And of course, they said, boy, may your money perish with you, because I see your heart. All you want is the ability to do this so people follow you. But the key point that I'm making in this verse is that there was a demonstration of God's power as God's Spirit was poured out. Church, I want to end with this, and I want you to know it, not just as an argument, but as an experience. I want you to know the depth of God's love by receiving it through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I can't begin to express to you the difference that being filled with the Spirit has made in my life and in my family's life. I don't know what I would do without it. I don't know what I would do if someone did not explain to me that there was more of God than I was experiencing. I don't know what I'd be doing these last 3 or 4 weeks if I didn't know that God could continuously pour out His Spirit truthfully into my life in a way that I could experience His love and from it the power that comes. When you know God is not just here, but here, with you, in you, working, helping, strengthening, speaking to you personally, that you may know, not just in head knowledge, but by experience. And that experience providing you so much hope that now you've completed the triad, faith, love, and hope, in a way that you can walk out and face anything. But my friends, that experience of God's Spirit is available to you if we seek it and open up our lives and ask Him, Lord, I have believed upon You. I know that I have been saved by my faith in you. I've been justified, made right with you. And you tell me that you are right here with me. But Lord, may I experience it. May I experience your presence in my life in a way that I know that you are there. And this morning I pray that as we take the last 5 minutes of our service, and as the worship team comes, that as we sing the song we ended with today in worship, what a perfect song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. That you consider this morning opening your heart to the fullness of God's Spirit being poured out into it in a way that you experience Him. Experience what we're talking about today, the presence of God in your life that is real, undeniable, and becomes unshakable. So let's stand together this morning, and my prayer is that you open your heart. Hey, if you want to do that at the altar, please come. If you want to do that in your seat, stay where you are. But anyway, anywhere, open your heart today.